thank you for this time to be able to meet this Lord's Day and gather around the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we sing the songs, as we hear the proclamation of your precious word, Lord, may our hearts be lifted up even closer to Him, Lord, and that we would appreciate more what He's done for us and what He is doing and what He will be doing, Lord. He's all-sufficient Savior. So we praise you for that, Lord. May just be a joyous time, Lord. Any here that are struggling, may they be drawn closer to thee and edified and built up and strengthened. And Lord, just encourage everyone today and challenge us from your word that we may be more like Christ, our Master. It's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Number 33 in our book. Mighty fortress is our God. Lord, never fail.
Encouragement
to all of us, and he has agreed to come month for the next 3 months. If you want the dates, they're September 13th, October 11th, and November 15th. So you will be here on those Wednesday nights, and we'll be glad to have you with us. Don't forget also, Gina Fry will be coming on the 17th of September to talk about her ministry there in Zambia. And of course, the Hitchens coming for the weekend of October 21 and 22. The Renzies will be going again. So we'll enjoy the breakfast time on the 21st with some good singing. And then also, he'll be here teaching and preaching on that Sunday, as well as providing special music with his wife. So we're going to have a good time on those occasions. All right, the only other thing I have is we're moving on to verse 16 in Ephesians chapter 6. So why don't we turn there, and we'll say that passage, verses 10 through 16 in Ephesians chapter 6 together. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 16. Go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Right? Okay. For our third song today, number 101. Found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. That's a tremendous truth, isn't it? God commended this love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Song before the
special in the message. Number 601, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. 601, if you're able to stand, why don't you do so?
I stumble and I fall, and my vessel breaks, He just picks up those pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Over and over, He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay. A vessel
feet of Jesus. I forget the title of it, but a poor or lonely woman, that she breaks the box open, the alabaster box, and gives it to the Lord. I forget the name of it. It kind of reminds me of that song. It's one of my favorite songs. Every time he sings something, it's one of my favorite songs, but it's true. That's a great hymn. Wasn't that a great song? Thank God that he's so merciful to us. Amen. Anyway, if you have a Bible this morning, would you please turn to Revelation chapter number 4, Revelation chapter number 4. This morning I want to talk a little bit from this text. We're going to start, just talk a little bit about pleasing the Lord, amen? Pleasing the Lord. Revelation chapter number 4. The purpose that God created us, one of the purposes that God created us, is that we might please Him. Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 10 and 11, the Bible says this. And the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and they worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. God created everything for His pleasure. God created human beings for His pleasure. Sin came into the universe through the devil. Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve. And all of a sudden, from that point on, the struggle to please the Lord began. Amen? God is obviously not pleased with every Christian's Christianity, that's for sure. I want you to turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Just because a person's saved doesn't mean they're pleasing to the Lord. Amen? Saved people need to live lives that please the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I want you to note with me, and we'll begin in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Talk about Sin City. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren," he said, "I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did drink of that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now he's talking about how God delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Moses led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, and they came out into the onto the other side in the wilderness. And what he says is, although they all experienced the wonderful working of God, they all experienced God opening the Red Sea, they all experienced God providing the manna, they all experienced God giving them water out of the rock, miraculous things the children of Israel experienced. Now, verse number 5 says this, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." They might have been among the number of those that came out of the land of Egypt. They might have been those that were saved, but with many of them, although they were rescued and delivered by God from Egypt, they did not please the Lord with their lives. In fact, he goes on to say how they didn't please him, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse number 6. "Now these things were our examples to the intent, for the purpose that we should not lust." One of the things that got the children of Israel in a place where they would not be pleasing to the Lord was they lusted and they went after what they lusted for. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Amen? And so lust is one of the things that battles in our hearts and in our lives in reference to pleasing the Lord. In fact, I think the greatest battle to pleasing the Lord is pleasing ourselves. Amen? And that's what lust does. He says, "They lusted after evil things as they also lusted." Verse number 7, "Not only that, neither be idolaters." They were idolaters. They put things before the Lord. In fact, it's amazing. One of the first things they did after coming out of the land of Egypt and coming through, and while Moses was up on the mountain delaying his coming, they said to Aaron, "Make us gods. Make us gods to lead us the rest of the way. We don't know what's up with this fellow Moses." And Aaron, you know what he did? He said, "Give me all the gold." And he fashioned a golden calf. And by the way, his excuse of what happened was ridiculous, wasn't it? "Oh, I just threw the gold in and poof, it came out." I mean, children don't even have excuses like that. Amen. But they fell into idolatry immediately. And obviously, they learned a lot in Egypt. Amen. And it was still in their hearts. And so this is another thing. They lusted after things they shouldn't have been lusting for. They became idolaters. They put things in the place of God. By the way, this is the battle of every Christian. We all battle the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The only ones that are not battling these things are the ones that are with the Lord already. Amen? And then idolatry. It goes on to say, verse number 7, "Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." It's amazing how idolatry is kind of listed with basically partying. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's the essence of it right there, right? It's all about me, right? Verse number 8 goes on to say, "Neither let us commit fornication, immorality." One of the great battles of every Christian is immorality. Amen. "Neither let us commit fornication." So these people that were not pleasing the Lord, they were saved, but they were not living the kind of lives that God wanted them to live. He said, "Neither be let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. And then verse number 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." Verse number 10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." What did they do? They complained against Moses and against God. They got out there in the wilderness and they said about Moses, "Let's kill this guy. He brought us out here that we might die." And so on. And verse number 11, it goes on to say, "Now all these things happened unto them for and samples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." You and I are to be challenged by the lives and by the consequences of these people. Amen. They were saved, but they didn't please the Lord with their lives. And you and I are designed to please the Lord. I want to talk to you just for a little bit this morning about pleasing the Lord. I want to give you just 3 thoughts about pleasing the Lord. What pleasing the Lord involves. Number 1, if you take notes, you might want to jot this down. Turn with me, first of all, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. what pleasing the Lord involves. And by the way, this is God's design for every one of us, to live lives that are pleasing to Him and pleasing in His sight. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want you to look. We'll be looking in verses 1 to 8 this morning. But pleasing the Lord involves how we walk. How we walk. Or the term walk is just a euphemism for the thought of living. Amen. How we live our daily lives, we are to please the Lord in reference to that. It takes a certain kind of walk. Amen. Look at verse number chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse number 1 to 8, if you would, please. Paul said this to the Thessalonians. And by the way, the Thessalonians were those who Paul went to their community and turned them from idols to serve the living God. Amen. And they got saved and so on. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1, he says this. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk. In other words, Paul said to them, we told you when we were with you how you ought to walk. Might I say it this way? He told them how they ought to live. Now, I believe we're in a day and in an age where people don't want to be told how to live. Ain't that the truth? Why in the world do you think that people choose churches that don't really get on them too much? Amen. Why do you think churches realize that and they don't get on a lot of people too much? Can I get a witness? Do you think Joe Osteen's picking on anybody today? Can I get a witness? He can't pick on nobody with that smile. How in the world are you going to pick on somebody with a smile like that? That's a $2 million smile right there. Amen. I'm talking, you know this is the truth. The stadiums, I don't even want to say auditoriums. The stadiums that are filled up are not filled up because preachers are getting up and thundering the truth of the Word of God. That ain't happening, amen? You see, people nowadays, they don't want to be told what to do. Who are you to tell me what to do? In fact, the preacher's actually not the one telling you what to do. God, through His Word, is telling us what to do and what not to do. But people don't want to hear that nowadays. Ain't that the truth? And that's why churches and preachers that are standing for the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, hey, listen, they're not going to be popular. They're not going to be popular. Listen, there was a king in the Old Testament who hated a prophet of God. His name was Micaiah. He was the 401st prophet. He said, isn't there a prophet that really tell us the truth? And the king said, yeah, but I hate him. I hate him. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you one day people are going to hate these false preachers. Amen. I guarantee you when it comes to eternity, some of these people that are going to be leaving this life and not going to heaven are going to be really upset with some of these people who had the truth but didn't share the truth, not boldly and courageously. Amen. I mean, they'll share it if they're forced in a corner. If you get them on Larry King Live and you get them cornered and say, hold on a minute, is there any other way but Jesus to get to heaven? Amen. They'll say it then and there, but my ministry is not to condemn anybody. I'm called to a positive ministry. Positively, financially beautiful. Amen? That's about it. But Paul, by the way, I saw a newfangled, I think it was a magazine where it kind of had, you know, there's no pulpit no more. By the way, the pulpit, that old wooden pulpit, you know, they got a little, maybe basically one of those over to the corner there, because the drama's area is all right here, you know. But they had this where, you know, there's no more of this, and they showed this old man pointing this long finger out there. No more of this. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that preachers ought to be mean or unkind or anything like that. I don't think that should be the case. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. The truth needs to be told. Paul told these Thessalonians, here how you ought to walk. Here's how you ought to live. Amen. And the thing is, people have a choice on what they want to hear. Amen. Now let's pick up in verse number 1. He goes on to say, I told you how you ought to walk and to what? Please God. So in other words, Paul the apostle among these Thessalonians said, look, you want to please God? This is the way. Walk ye in it. You got people to think, I'm going to please God my way. There ain't no Frank Sinatra stuff there, amen? No, you're not going to please God your way. That's not how we do it. Matter of fact, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, amen? He said, you ought to please. He said, I preached among you. I told you how you ought to walk and how you ought to please God. Now notice what he says in the end of verse 1. So you would abound. What's that next statement? More and more. Not only ought you to be walking in a pleasing way, but you ought to grow in pleasing the Lord in your walk. Amen? Now here in the context, he's going to get into what it is to please the Lord. Let's pick up verse number 2. For you know what commandments. Oh boy, people hate that. People hate that. Commandments? We're in the New Testament. We're under grace. What commandments? Oh, there's commandments. In fact, I could spend time, and I don't want to do it, preaching on the 9 commandments out of the New Testament. I didn't say 10 commandments. Can I get a witness? You see, 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament. The only one that's not is the Sabbath day to honor, because that's for the Jews. That's not for us. Amen? Oh, I don't believe that you get commanded by God to do anything. Well, you have no idea who he is. You have no idea of the scripture. You do greatly err not knowing the scriptures. Amen? He goes on to say, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And by the way, any commands that are preached from the pulpit or taught from the lectern need to be commands that are by the Lord Jesus. Now there are preachers, good preachers, that are commanding people things that God never said. Amen. In fact, I believe they're misunderstanding. And I'm not saying, man, most of them are not malicious at all. They're preaching things as if God commanded it, but they're preaching out of context, and we know God didn't command that to us. In fact, if you study the scriptures, one of the first things you got to know is who's God speaking to? And does that apply to me, if anything? And where at do I find that in the context of the scripture that deals with the local church? We have to rightly divide the word of truth. And you got preachers getting up preaching things, but not because they discovered it as they studied the scriptures, but because they were told that. They just simply are passing on something. In fact, if you stop them in their tracks and kind of ask them about that, they'll say, well, I don't know much about it. That's just where I'm from. It's what we do. You got your Bible doctrine, then you got your Baptist doctrine. Oh, by the way, you can be whacked out on your Bible doctrine, but you better not be whacked out on your Baptist doctrine. If you're whacked out on your Baptist doctrine, you're not going to be part of our club. We won't have that. Amen? And that's the truth. They'll say, well, what about, you know, you're removing the ancient landmarks. What ancient landmarks are they? Where's that in the Bible? Well, let me take you to Proverbs. Okay, you want to talk about the children of Israel and what that meant? It has nothing to do with what you're talking about. Amen. Listen, this history supersedes any other history. Amen. Amen. Anyway, look at verse number 3. He goes on. He's talking about, here's how they need to please the Lord. For this is the will of God, even your what? Sanctification. A sanctified life is pleasing to the Lord. What is a sanctified life? It's a life that's set apart for God. This piano is sanctified, as far as I know. I don't know what goes on the off hours, amen? You don't rent this place out for no jumping and jiving, do you? No, I'm teasing. You say, what does it mean that this is sanctified? It means it's set apart for God's use. I don't think we're playing Billy Joel's music on this, are we? Now, the piano man ain't loud in here, right? What I'm saying to you is this piano is used to bring glory to God. It's used to play hymns and songs that worship and honor the Lord and edify and encourage God's people. We're not up here rocking and rolling with this thing. It's sanctified. This building's sanctified. You're not renting this out for wild parties on the weekends, right? No, this is for God's use, amen? Our bodies, our lives need to be sanctified, set apart for God, amen? Which means the devil can't use it, the world can't use it, amen? And one of the worst things, I can't use it. Amen. Look at verse number 4. I'm sorry, let's finish verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, immorality. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. There's two opinions on the vessel there. It's either the wife or the body. I lean toward the body, but nonetheless. He goes on to say, not in the lust of concupiscence, verse number 5, even as the Gentiles which know not God. In other words, don't live your life in your flesh the way the world does. Amen. Don't just simply, if it feels good, do it. Amen. The world lives in such a way they could care less about pleasing God. Listen, the greatest battle to glorifying Him is gratifying me. Can I get a witness on that? Or am I the only sinner in this joint? Look at verse number 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Hey, the battle in Romans 6 was, shall we continue in sin because grace is abounding? Hey, we're getting grace. In fact, the more we sin, the more grace. Should we continue in sin? No, God forbid. Don't do that. We don't have grace to sin. We got grace to be free. In fact, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lust, and so on, to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Amen? Grace is not for me to live like I want. Grace is for me to live like He wants me to live. Amen? And that's the essence of pleasing the Lord. When it comes to pleasing the Lord, listen, Jesus Christ is our greatest example. The Father said at His baptism, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father said on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In fact, it says of Jesus in John 8:29, Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. He's the greatest example of one that would please the Lord. In fact, because Christ is the greatest example of one who pleases the Lord, Christ's likeness is the key to pleasing the Lord the most. The more like Jesus we become, the more pleasing to God we will be. Amen? In fact, that is the goal, is it not? And that's exactly what the potter does with the clay. He's trying to mold me and make me to be more like Jesus. In fact, Romans 8:29 says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen? In fact, they say this. They say the goldsmith is not done purifying the gold until he can see his own image in that gold. The goldsmith will burn the gold and the dross will come to the top and he'll scoop the dirt away. And the more pure that gold becomes and the more cleaner that becomes, the more that the goldsmith can see his image in that gold. You and I are God's gold. We're His value. He loves us and He's working on us. He's working on us. He's cleaning us. He's changing us to be more and more like His Son Jesus. Amen. Listen, pleasing the Lord involves how we walk. It involves how we walk. In fact, no, I won't do that. Let me give you the second thought. I want you to turn with me for a moment, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We have to walk according to the Word of God. In fact, if we're going to walk according to the book, listen to me, you need to know the book. There, let me tell you what religion has done. Religion has said, look, here's the rules and regulations. We laid them all out for you. If you do this, this is what's pleasing to the Lord. You know, Jewish people did that. God said honor the Sabbath day and He gave them some basic things. And all of a sudden the leadership said, well, hold on a minute. We're going to tell you what that means. We're going to tell you what God allows and what God doesn't allow. Here's how far you can walk. Here's how much you can carry. In fact, they got it nowadays where I think those who are observing Jews, they can't even turn a light switch on a Sabbath day. What happened was somebody took a general rule and they laid out what they believe God meant. And now you got to do all of this in order to please Him. In fact, I think Jesus said it this way. The Pharisees lay burdens on men that they themselves can't even keep. And by the way, we're not far from that. We have religious people within certain denominations. And they'll say, well, look, apart from the Word of God, all of these, oh boy, if you could do all of these things, man, this will really, you'll really be pleasing to the Lord. No, I won't. I'll be pleasing to you, not to Him. Amen? Here's what I need to do. I need to do what God said. Amen. Do you know when you please the Lord, you don't always please men? Right. Amen. You don't always please men. I find it amazing how God knows what we need and He gave us what we need. But men, for some reason, they get their hands in on this and they make it harder and they make it worse than God seemingly made it. Right. I remember years ago studying, and I just finished the book of Exodus recently. I was studying through the book of Exodus years ago, and I'm reading about how God's, you know, instructing them on here's how to make the Ark of the Covenant, and here's how to make the mercy seat, and here's how to make this, here's how to make that. And much of the big articles of furniture, they were wood overlaid with gold. Right? Now, you got some people nowadays, they say, you know what? I know God said that, but I think he deserves better. Let's make everything out of solid gold. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound better? Hold on a minute. There's a reason why God said to do the way he said to do it. You have to carry this articles of furniture through the wilderness. And if it's solid, it'll be too heavy. The gold is to be an overlay of the wood. It'll be lighter to carry through this. Can I get a witness on that one? God knows what we can handle and what we can carry. And we got men using whatever philosophy they have to put more on it. And they burden people to the point God never burdened them. Do you know people are guilty over things that God never made them guilty over, but somebody else did? Amen. That's why you got to know this book. You don't know this book. Let me tell you, the only kind of life you can live is the one somebody else is telling you to live. If you don't know this book, the only life you can live is what they tell you, because you're at their mercy. If they say it, you have to believe it, because you don't know any different. Amen. I've heard things over the years, and when I became a student of this book, I questioned such a lot of what I heard. In fact, I challenged a lot of what I heard. And you know what I was considered by challenging a lot that I heard? A rebel. Yeah. I'm a rebel.
Amen.
I've been told that. Rebel, oh, stay away from that. He's a rebel. When you're a biblicist, when you're a scriptural person, when you say, hey, show me in the book, you're a rebel. I challenged something 10 years ago that I was told many, many years, but I've just searched the scripture and found out I don't say it. 10 years later, this person I challenged about this issue got up, humbled themselves, and said, you know what? You're right. You're right. I'm not right because I'm something. I'm just said I'm not buying everything I hate here. Listen, prove all things, but only hold fast that which is good. Hey, you listen to people teach and preach. Don't buy everything. Search the scriptures to make sure that is correct. Amen. Amen? I don't know where that came from. That has nothing to do with the message, I don't think, but nonetheless. Maybe I'm just fed up with it, you know. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Listen, pleasing the Lord involves our walk. It involves our walk. We have to walk and we have to live according to the word of God. According to the word of God, we have to live. Amen? And that's why I'm the type of person, if God said it, I want to make sure he said it. I want to know that it's what his word says. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Not only does walk pleasing the Lord involve our walk, but it also involves our war. Our war. Let me just say this. Walking for the Lord is one thing. But if you're going to walk in such a way as to please the Lord, you're going to have to put up a good fight. You're going to have to put up a good fight. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 and 4. Paul said to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may what? Please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You and I have to walk according to the word of God. But I promise you, the devil's not going to let that but just be that easy. Amen? The devil's not going to let it be that easy. The world ain't going to let it be that easy. And your own flesh ain't going to let it be that easy. Amen? We have to war a good warfare. Amen. If we desire to please the Lord, listen, we have to expect opposition from the devil. Oh, we know that, don't we? We have to expect opposition from the devil. We have to expect opposition from the world. Listen, John 17, Jesus told the disciples, he said, look, the world does not love you. God gave us, Jesus said, I gave them the word, and the world hath hated them. The world doesn't love us, amen? The world doesn't love our Christianity. Hey, listen, there's a Christianity the world loves. I think Joel Osteen has that type of Christianity. Even the world loves it. Because it don't bother them. Amen? But if you're going to have a certain lifestyle that's pleasing to the Lord, I promise you, not that you're looking to get into trouble, but people ain't going to like you. People ain't going to like you. Amen? We better expect opposition from the world. And here's a sad thing too. We better expect opposition from the worldly. You say, what's the difference between the world and the worldly? The world is the lost. The worldly are those that are saved that are living like the lost. Amen? And then we can expect opposition from our own selves. I think some of the greatest opposition we face is our own selves. Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 26:41, he said, listen, the spirit indeed is willing. The spirit indeed is willing. In that context, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about Peter's spirit. You remember Peter. Peter had a heart. He wanted to live for God. He told the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to go to prison. I believe in his spirit. He really wanted to live for God. And how many people do in their hearts? They really want to live for God. Jesus said, listen, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. How many of us would be better Christians if it wasn't for our flesh? Can I get a witness, or am I the only sinful human being here? Oh, it wasn't for this flesh of mine. Oh boy, I'll tell you. You know what Paul said about his flesh? He said, in me dwells no good thing. That is my flesh. In fact, he said this, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's what Paul said. Paul knew who he was. In fact, listen to this. The more that Paul grew, the more he realized what he was. Hey, do you know when Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners? Toward the end of his life. Amen. In fact, Paul thought he was a pretty good guy till he met the Lord. And then he grew from there. Amen. How do you grow that way? Amen. You understand more and more what you are, more and more who he is. Thank God he's so merciful. Isn't it good? Anyway, let me give you the last thought. So listen, if we're going to please the Lord, it's going to involve our walk. It's going to involve our war. But then here's the final thing. It's going to involve our wanting. Our wanting. Our want. When I say want, I mean desire. Pleasing the Lord is going to take desire. Might I say strong desire. Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself in Babylon. Amen. Pleasing the Lord takes desire. We got some good reasons, by the way, to desire to please the Lord. That's for sure. Turn with me, if you would, please, to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm coming down. Hang in there. I'm coming down. If I see a runway in front of me, nobody's in the aisle, so we're ready to come down. Hebrews chapter number 13. It takes desire to please the Lord. We ain't going to please him if we don't want to. But we really got to want to. Amen? And I believe he works in our hearts to please him. That's what he does. Bible says in Philippians 2:13, he worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasure. My flesh wants to do my pleasure, but he's working in my heart to want to do his pleasure. And if my heart can win out, I'll say no to my flesh and yes to my Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 13. I want you to look at two things here. He's working in us. He's working in us. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me see here. I know it's in the New Testament still. Look at verse number 20 and 21. We're going to sing in a few moments. I don't know if Brother Jason's able to play or whatever, but we're going to sing 470, I believe, Living for Jesus. We're going to sing that as we close in just a moment. But we have here in Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll close with these two verses. Hebrews 13, look at verse 20 and 21. The Bible says this, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, which is mature you, grow you, in every good work to do what? His will, working where? In you, that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and honor, or glory forever and ever. If we're going to please the Lord, it's going to take a certain walk. It's going to take a certain war. It's going to take a certain want. In fact, 470, if we can, brother, we're going to sing Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. 470, if you would, and we're going to close with this after the song. I'll come back and close us in prayer. prayer. If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, we don't want you to leave with any questions in your mind. If you have any questions about being saved, I'll be up front here at the end of the service. Please come see me. If you're a lady, we'll have you speak with a lady. But we want you to know how to be saved. So today would be that day of salvation. And for those of us that are saved, our goal in life ought to be to strive to please the Lord. Maybe not everybody else, but pleasing the Lord is our main goal. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the gathering. Thank you for the great hymns, and thank you for the special music, Lord. Thank you for being merciful to these vessels. Sometimes we break ourselves, and you're so gracious to put us back together again, and we thank you for that. We do pray that as we dismiss, that you'll bless and protect and keep us safe. And Lord, I pray that you'll just watch over everyone. Lord, please bless, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.